This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فلما فصل طالوت بجنودي قال إن الله مبتليكم بنهر قال إن الله مبتليكم بنهر فمن شرب منه فليس مني ومن لم يطعمه فإنه مني إلا من اغترف غرفة بيده فشربوا منه إلا قليلا منهم فلما جاوزه والذين آمنوا معه قالوا لا طاقة لنا اليوم قالوا لا طاقة لنا اليوم بجالوت وجنوده قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا الله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين ولما برزوا لجالوت وجنوده قالوا ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين فهزموهم بإذن الله وقاتل داود جالوت وآتاه الله الملك والحكمة وعلمه مما يشاء ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض ولكن الله ذو فضل على العالمين تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وإنك لمن المرسلين
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين ينفقون أموالهم بالليل والنهار سرا وعلانية ينفقون أموالهم بالليل والنهار سرا وعلانية فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات والله لا يحب كل كفار أثيم
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله وإن طبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون وإن كان ذو عسرة فنظرة إلى ميسرة وأن تصدقوا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون
صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد I recited for you some ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah because we will be dealing with some of them inshallah today when we look at our dars on the issue of risk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, those who spend their wealth by night and by day, secretly and publicly in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will have their reward with their Rabb, and no fear will there be concerning them, nor will they grieve. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who consume interest cannot stand on the day of judgment except as one stands who is being beaten by shaitan into insanity. And that is because they say that trade is just like interest. But Allah has permitted trade and has forbidden interest. So whoever has received an admonition from his Rabb and desists and stops may have what is past, and his affair is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to the future. This ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ahallallahu al-bay'a wa harrama al-riba is an ayah where the whole issue of haram and halal is so beautifully explained in the Quran, where if you look at this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying these are people who say that interest is just like trade. Because for example, somebody might say that I have a house which costs me 1 crore. I spent 1 crore to buy the house. And I give it out on rent and I'm getting a rent of 1 lakh per month, 100,000 rupees. I bought the house for 10 million and I am getting the rent of 1.2 million per year. So I'm getting effectively a return on my 10 million of 12%. Right? Return on 10 million. I'm getting a return of 1.2 million for the year. So I'm getting an annual return of 12%. So now, supposing instead of buying the house and giving it on rent and getting a return of 12%, what is the harm if I simply take that 10 million and lend it to somebody at 12% interest? Effectively, the amount of money that I have put out in the market and the return I am getting is the same. So what is the difference? How come you say one is halal and one is haram? Rental income is halal. And giving the same 10 million out in the market and getting a return of 12%, which is 1.2 million, is haram. So
Someone might argue and say that how is it that one thing is the same thing, exactly the same transaction in terms of what is being done. The transaction is the same, which is that a certain amount of money has been put out in the market and you are getting a certain return on this money. That's a transaction basically. But one is halal, one is haram. Why? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has answered that in the way that suits His glory and majesty. أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيَى وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. خلاص. Just use this one criteria of what is halal and what is haram. What is halal, what is haram? What is halal? Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal is halal. And what is haram? Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited is haram. Even though the transaction may look like the same thing. I'll give you two other examples to illustrate. Rasulullah said, give gifts to one another because it brings hearts close together. Yes? Also, what you get as a gift is the best of halal. Because there is no questioning on the gift. So supposing I earn $1,000, if I earn the $1,000 in a haram way, there is no questioning because I go straight into the hellfire. I get punished for it. But if I earn the $1,000 in a halal manner, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can question me on this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not to question us, but it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wants to question, He can question. So if I am earning $1,000, then I can be questioned on that $1,000. But the same $1,000, if I get it as a gift, there is no questioning on it. There is no questioning on it. I've got it as a gift, and this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bashara, Alhamdulillah, for me it is clean. For me there is no questioning on this. So the gift is the best of halal. Right? Now, what is a gift? A gift is something you give to someone. Yes? Now supposing I give a gift to a official working in the municipal commissioner's office and I have a paper which needs to be passed in the municipal commissioner's office and I am giving this gift to this officer in the municipal office. In terms of the transaction, is there any change? Same thing. Yes? But is this transaction jais or not jais? Not jais, because you are giving a bribe. You say, no, but kya farak pada, it's a gift. I give it to Wajahat, I give it to the guy. No. Wajahat, you give it to because he's your friend. You got nothing out of him. You're not doing it with a ulterior motive. If I give this to him, this is what he will do. But that guy, you're giving it to him. So the transaction, the shape of the transaction, the appearance of the transaction has nothing to do with whether a transaction is halal or haram. I'll give you another example. In Islam, what is the method of nikah? The method of nikah is that you, when you want to marry a girl, you go to the wali of the girl, you go to the guardian of the girl. Yes, and you ask for her hand in marriage, and if he agrees, then you pay a sum of money which is called mahar. Yes? And in the presence of two witnesses, this is jais. Now, this girl is married to you and you are permitted to have a physical relationship with her. Yes? What do you do? Obviously you don't do this and we don't do this, but I'm just saying as an example. What does a man do if he wants to have an illegal sexual relationship with a woman? If he wants to go to a call girl, he wants to go to a prostitute, what does he do? He gives money. Is it jais? Can you say, well, you know, after all, I'll call it mahar. Does it become mahar? I'm saying this for a very specific reason, because people give exactly the same arguments with regard to interest. They give the same arguments with regard to interest. We must understand very clearly, just because you give something a name, it does not change its nature. If something is haram, it's haram. You call it what you want. It doesn't make it halal. The shape of something, the appearance of something has nothing to do with whether it is halal or haram. What is halal is what Allah has made halal. And what is haram is what Allah has made haram. And that's why this beautiful ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ. Allah has made trade halal and Allah has made riba haram. Now no matter how many resemblances you want to pick between trade and riba, trade continues to remain halal and riba continues to remain haram. And the fact that this resembles that in terms of its appearance is neither here nor there. And that's a very, very important principle to understand with regard to risk. Because a lot of our problem of risk is because we don't pay attention to this issue of haram and halal. And we fool ourselves and we allow people to fool us by entering into these completely facetious arguments which really hold no water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, after this, but Allah has permitted trade and has forbidden interest. So whoever has received an admonition, whoever has accepted the warning from his Rabb and desists, may have what is past and his affair rests with Allah. But whoever returns to dealing in interest, those are the companions of the fire and they will abide therein forever. Now there is a word that is used, usury, in English translations for riba, and inshallah we'll look at that in detail. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yamhaqu Allahu riba wa yurbi sadaqat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah destroys interest and gives increase for charity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like every sinning disbeliever. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, those who believe and do righteous deeds and establish salah and give zakat will have their reward with their Rabb, and there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have believed, ittaqullah, fear Allah and give up what remains due to you of interest, in kuntum mu'mineen. Now this ayah came at a time when interest-based banking was prevalent, and one of the biggest bankers of the time was the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. And when this ayah came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he forbade interest, and he said that I give up all the interest that is due to my uncle from whatever loans he gave to whoever he gave to. And that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, give up what people owe you in terms of the interest. Not the principal sum. If you lent somebody $1,000 and the $1,000 was supposed to yield you $100 interest, then you give up the interest and you say, I don't want interest anymore. And the principal amount can be returned to you, and we'll see that in the next ayah. But what I want to draw to your attention and remind me, myself and you is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used a very, very severe term in this ayah. He said, in kuntum mu'mineen. He said, if you are believers. Now, this is a conditional statement. What does it mean? Supposing I say that I'm a believer, but I will not give up the interest that is due to me. What does it mean now to my belief? Jazakumullah. You get the point I'm making. What does it mean about my belief? It means that I am walking out of Islam. If I am saying I will not give it up, then I am saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah said, if you are believers, in kuntum mu'mineen, I am saying what? I am not a mu'min, sorry. I like my interest. It's a very, very severe admonition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh, you have believed, fear Allah. Ittaqullah and give up. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wadharu. Give it up. Ma baqiya, whatever is baqi, whatever is remaining, minar riba, of interest, in kuntum mu'mineen, if you should be believers, if you are believers. And then, for those to whom even this is not clear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Now, there is no prohibition in Islam which is as severe as this one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and if you do not do this, meaning do not give up your interest and do not give up dealing in interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then be informed. Fa'azanu, adhan is being given, the call is being given, the challenge is being given, the announcement is being made. Fa'azanu harbim min Allahi wa rasuli. Be informed of a war against you from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now think about this. On the day of judgment, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We want the rahmah of Allah. We want the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede for us. We want the shafa'at of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do we want to go to war with them? Do we want to seriously go to war with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I mean, if you want to go to war, we can't find anyone other than Allah and His Nabi. Think about that. If you want to go to war with somebody, you know. Why with Allah? And why with His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who deal in interest on the day of judgment, they will be given swords by the angels. And they will be, it will be said to them, here is the one whose declaration of war you accepted. Now go and fight. There is nothing in the Quran and in the Sunnah which has been prohibited in such severe terms. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this fooling of shaitan, which shaitan tries to show us that what Allah has made haram is somehow permissible. It's not permissible. It is not permissible whatsoever. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you do not do this, if you do not give up your interest, then be informed of a war against you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you repent, you may have your principle, whatever you lent out, without the interest. Thus, you do no wrong, nor are you wronged. And if someone is in hardship, then let there be postponement until a time of ease. But if you give from your right as charity, then it is better for you if you only knew. See this, the religion of ours. See the emphasis on doing good, and the emphasis on doing what is right with regard to the poor. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if someone is in hardship, that you loaned some money to someone. So you had given this money on interest. So now already you have forgiven the interest. You say, okay, I don't want the interest anymore. Alhamdulillah. Now what about the principal sum which you gave? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the principal sum you take it back, that is fine. You can take it back. Then he is saying that however, even to give back that principal sum, if that person at that time is having some liquidity issues, if he has got some hardship and so on, then leave it for a while. Postpone it. Don't insist. Don't force him. Don't give his name to a collections fellow to go to his house with a hockey stick. Right? He says, leave it. And then in addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then however, if you leave it completely, meaning that you say, all right, you don't have to give it back at all. So one is, you are postponing it. You say, you were supposed to pay it back on the 1st of January. It doesn't matter. I give you until the 31st of December. Another 12 months. Or whatever period. That is good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is even better is you don't take it back at all. You tell him, subhanAllah, take it, keep it. If you can give it, you give it. If you can't give it, khalas, no problem. I don't want it back. Now many people, when they see this ayah, they say, well, how can you have an Islamic banking system based on this? Because if I lend out money without interest and then I say I don't even want it back, then where is the bank? My answer is very simple. My answer is, we are talking about establishing a globally robust banking system on Islamic principles. That cannot be done in a 2-minute conversation. You ask a question, I give you an answer, therefore now we have a global banking. No. Muslims have to sit down and put their minds together and say, this is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping this intact, how can we create a banking system where we can still run our bank according to the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is what needs to be done. We need to put our minds together and come up with a system, and I have no doubt at all that this can be done. Provided there is interest, provided there is a desire to do something to please Allah. Because what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in this particular thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in kuntum ta'alamun. He said, if you could only know, if you only knew, if you could only understand, what does it mean? Islam looks at the whole overall system of society. Remember that the basis of the borrower and the lender, for both of them to do what is honorable and to do what is correct, what is the basis? Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lender also knows, a muttaqi lender also knows, that if he takes a loan from you, he took a loan, he didn't take a gift, he didn't ask for charity, he took a loan. He took a loan from you, he promised to pay it back. He can pay it back, but deliberately now, because you are a muttaqi person, he is misusing the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is falsely, he is lying and saying, I'm sorry, you know, I'm in great hardship and I can't pay you back, and he never pays you back. So now he swallowed your money effectively and he has not paid you back, even though he could pay you back. But does Allah know this? Is he going to get away with this? No. The principle of the Islamic system is taqwa. The lender and the borrower both are operating on the basis of taqwa. For the lender also to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the primary purpose. For the borrower also to please Allah is the primary purpose. Secondly, when you are lending and borrowing in this way, ultimately you are strengthening the entire economy. Money ultimately will flow. So ultimately you are strengthening the entire economy. You are not getting into a situation where one part of society is benefiting at the expense of another part of society. When certain people are getting rich at the expense of certain other people. Which is what has happened in the West. Now what's happened in the West today? There are thousands of people who lost their homes. Has everyone lost his home? No. What happened to the banks which lent them money? Banks are still there. Not only are the banks there, but the banks are now being given funds to come out of the bad financial situation. What about the person who lost his home? Is someone giving him money to say, go buy another house? No. He's on the street. So a part of society is being impoverished in order that another part of society gets enriched. And this is not Islam. And this is not sustainable. This bottle doesn't work. It creates misery all around. But then you say, well, what is the model which works? And I tell you, Islamic model, you say, what is that? And we have no answer. Because we don't put our minds together to come up with a viable solution. We look for shortcuts. And we give all kinds of excuses and we make all kinds of false claims. And inshallah, we'll look at all of that between today and tomorrow. This whole issue of Darul Harb and what is jais and what is not, I'll explain all of that to you in detail, inshallah. So do think about this ayat of the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and fear a day when you will be returned to Allah. And that is the foundation which I just explained to you. Then every soul, every person will be compensated for what they earned. And they will not be treated unjustly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do and help us to do what is pleasing to Him. And to save us from that which is not pleasing to Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. We'll come back after the break. Jazakallahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.